ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद। श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत ऑफ श्रील कृष्णदास कविराज गोस्वामी आदि लीला चैप्टर 17 टेक्स्ट 157 प्रवृत्ति मार्गे गोबध करिते विधि होय शास्त्र आज्ञाय बद्ध कइले नाहि पाप भय। प्रवृत्ति मार्गे गोबध करिते विधि होय शास्त्र आज्ञाय बद्ध कइले नाहि पाप भय। Translation. This is Nimai Pandit speaking to Chankazi on the subject of cow killing. Nimai Pandit, who is at this time not known as Chaitanya, says, on the path of material activities, there is regulation for killing cows. If such killing is done under the guidance of scripture, there is no sin. So please read the purport.
Purport. Purport. Shastra is derived from the dhatu or verbal root sas. Sas dhatu pertains to controlling or ruling. The government's ruling through force or weapons is called shastra. Thus, whenever there is ruling, either by weapons or by intentions, the sastra is the basic principle. Between shastra, ruling through weapons, and shastra, ruling through the intentions of the scriptures, the battle is shastra. Our Vedic scriptures are not ordinary law books of human common sense. They are the statements of actual liberated persons, unaffected by the imperfectness of the senses. Shastra must be correct always, not sometimes correct, and sometimes incorrect. In the Vedic scriptures, the cow is described as a...
Okay, so... Shastra must be correct always, not sometimes correct, and sometimes incorrect. In the Vedic scriptures, the cow is described as a mother. Therefore, she is a mother for all time. It is not, as some rascals say, that in the Vedic age she was a mother, but she is not in this age. If Shastra is an authority, the cow is a mother always. She was a mother in the Vedic age, and she is a mother in this age also. If one acts according to the injunctions of Shastra, he is freed from the reactions of sinful activity. For example, the propensities for eating flesh, drinking wine, and enjoying sex are all natural to the conditioned soul. The path of such enjoyment is called Pravritti Marga. The Shastra says, Pravrittirisham Bhutanam Nivrittistu Mahapala. One should not be carried away by the propensities of defective conditioned life. One should be guided by the principles of the Shastras. A child's propensity is to play all day long, but it is the injunction of the Shastras that the parents should take care to educate him. The Shastras are there just to guide the activities of human society. But because people do not refer to the injunctions of Shastras, which are free from defects and imperfections, they are therefore misguided by so-called educated teachers and leaders who are full of the deficiencies of conditioned life. I chose to speak on this verse today as it is relevant to the subject of the meeting that we're scheduled to hold today concerning our pilot projects, Varnashram, Farm, Simple Living, High Thinking, and Gurukuls. I have to express my gratitude to those of you who are gathered for this meeting, who have dedicated yourselves to fulfilling the forgotten 50% of Srila Prabhupada's mission. Ah, you can move this back now so you can all have darshan of Srila Prabhupada. It's surprising in this present day, which is full of self-centeredness. Everyone's interested in themselves. How you're all dedicating selflessly, with great faith in Srila Prabhupada's words. There are so many obstacles and difficulties, and it doesn't seem like it's the real thing to do. Why, when there's so much progress in society, should we live without electricity, for instance? But because you have faith in Shastra and Srila Prabhupada, you're doing that. So you're all great souls. I'm surprised how many devotees are dedicating themselves so nicely in this way. And we can expect also that the children of such dedicated devotees, they should come forth as great souls. Yeah. Krishna will send. We understand from Shastra that we get different bodies. Sadasadyoni janmasu. Better or worse bodies, according to our desires and activities. And under Daiva Netrena, under the supervision of the Supreme Lord and his associates, demigods. So certainly Krishna will send some special souls. Already some are being sent. I chose to speak on this verse because the purport has so many elements which are essential to our Varnashram, Farm, Gurukul projects, that the Shastra is in the center. These projects that we're doing, in many ways they may be similar to many other kinds of back to the land, simple living, alternative education projects. But there's a very great difference in as much as this is guided by Shastra and with a clear vision of the goal of life. Our goal of life is not to live peacefully on the land. That's another kind of sense gratificatory thought. Recently I was reading that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was referring to sadhus who go prayena de, what is that? Prayena devyam, prayeva denam, munayo svavimuktikaman, maunam charanti, vijane, svavimuktikaman, vijane. They go away from the human society. So he says they're also enjoying the nice countryside. He said the devotees should be in the cities for preaching. they should not be enjoying the nice countryside. But these farm projects, they are going away from the city so that people can live peacefully and live according to the directions of Shastra, which is very difficult to do in the cities, to live the Vedic way of life, Krishna-centered way of life. Cow culture. So cows are mentioned here in this purport. Parents are mentioned. Parents should take care to educate the children. But then it's mentioned that the teachers, there's so much emphasis on education in modern India. But as Srila Prabhupada famously said, the schools are just like slaughterhouses because they kill the spiritual propensities, the natural spiritual propensities of the children. So teachers are mentioned here. So there are so many points which are relevant to our farm projects and Gurukul projects. Of course, our conception of education is almost completely different to that of the demoniac society in which we live. We should not be unclear about this. Although India is a pious land, no doubt, and the people up to the present day are inclined to be pious, probably more so in this state, Madhya Pradesh, than in general in surrounding states. Maharashtra, if we take, of course, Marathi people are also very pious in general, but if you take Bombay, the average person in Bhopal, we can say, is more pious and religiously inclined and less sinful than the average person in Bombay. Bombay is a much more materialistic city. And Gujarat, the east side, very materialistic. So in general, we can say the people are very pious here. But the whole flow of the society is toward everything demoniac, importing the consumer culture. And the education is all meant for that. The education is meant, actual education is meant so that the child does not have to take birth. Again, Guru na sasyat, swajana na sasyat, pita na sasyat, janani na sasyat, daivang na tatsyan na patis na chasyatsyan. Namojyad yah samupeta mrityam. One should not become a guru or a relative or a father or a mother or a husband or take respect from others in any way or take a superior position unless one is able to relieve his dependence from birth and death. So this is our idea of education. And the modern education is to increase the entanglement in material life. Dehatma buddhi. Dehadhyasa. That's a term you probably don't know. I just learned it recently. Adhyas means illusion. So dehadhyas means the illusion of identifying with the body. So, although education is meant for the benefit of the children, one first has to know what's actually beneficial for them. We have a very different outlook to that of the materialistic, demoniac society. On one hand, the people are naturally pious. On the other hand, the whole flow of society is toward the demoniac. Get money, live comfortably. What is all this Ramayana and Bhagavad Gita? That's all old stuff. Enjoy yourself. Even this, what's that Maharashtra chief minister? What's his name? Fadnavis? Something. So he said when there was this agitation that women should be allowed in the Shani Mandir, that he said, well, we should get rid of all these outdated religious rules, as if a politician is competent to say what is outdated. As Srila Prabhupada says here, our Vedic scriptures. He says, our Vedic scriptures, not the Vedic, our Vedic scriptures, are not ordinary law books of human common sense. They're the statements of factually liberated persons unaffected by the imperfectness of the senses. Shastra must be correct always, not sometimes correct and sometimes incorrect. So who is he to say it's outdated? Now, Shastra does give different directions for different times. Just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here, Nimai Pandit, is speaking to the Kazi, and he will quote Ashvamedham Gavalam Yam Sanyasam Pala Paitrikam Devarena Sutotpatim Kalo Panchavi Varjayat, the five forbidden acts in Kali Yuga. Horse sacrifice, cow sacrifice, begetting a child in the womb of one's brother's wife. Taking sannyas, offering meat in the pitritarpan, what's called shrad. Interestingly, sati is not mentioned in this. So the five Kali Varjas. So there are allowances, but you can't just make it up on the spot to correspond to what the demoniac people think is right. Now there's great agitation. Women, men, they're all equal. But as Srila Prabhupada taught, this is not common sense. This is not Shastra, this is just common sense, you could say. They can never be equal, they can never be the same, because men can't give birth to children. Maybe some doctors will take that up and try and make a womb transplant into a male or something. You never know what these crazy people are going to do. But they can't be equal, and therefore society, if it's not arranged according to the injunctions of the Shastras, it must be chaotic, and no one will be satisfied even materially. And what to speak of making spiritual advancement. So on this basis, Srila Prabhupada wanted to revive Varnashram society as far as possible in the present disturbed age. So our concept of education is very, very different. The whole goal of it is different. The whole approach to it is different. We don't believe in universal education as it is conceived of in the present time. Yeah, everyone can be educated, but not in the same way. Kshatriya's education is largely different from that of a Brahmana. A Shudra boy's education might be making pots, making dioramas, playing music. Some Shudras are very intelligent, like Karams, the clerk caste. It's a Hindi word, so you don't, maybe it's a Sanskrit word. They're the clerks and administrators, Kayastha in Bengal and Orissa. Ramananda Rai was Shudra, but he was from that caste, which is very intelligent and very powerful often also. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, from the same. The originator of them is Chitragupta. He's the clerk of Yamaraj. So the different education for them, and some of them don't need. If you're going to be pushing a cart, Talawa, then not much education required. Even they may have some techniques that others don't know. But the main education for everyone is to observe dharma and act according to your own position, as is suitable for you, in according to what you got in this life, what we have got. Karamana daiva netrena jantur deho papattaye. According to our previous activities, we've got a certain kind of body and mentality, so we should act according to that. This doesn't mean necessarily that one who's born in a Brahmin family is a Brahmin, or one who's born in a Shudra family has to be a Shudra, although often it will be like that. So anyway, our whole outlook is different. We don't subscribe to this actually absurd idea that everyone is equal, and if you give them the same equal opportunity, then everyone can be an Einstein and so on. And factually we see it doesn't happen. Even in countries where the education is pretty much the same for everyone, some children come out very good in studies and go on to university, and others, they can't read at all. In America, there is compulsory education, but it's something like 15% of the kids can't read or write properly after coming out of school. Do you know, Mr. Statistics happen to know that one? Of course, there are millions of statistics, so you can't be expected to know them all. But America's public education system is notably poor. It's only about number 15 in the world compared to other countries. And in the country where I grew up in also, you see the kids, they're forced to go to school for 10 years and they still can't read and write. They just don't, whatever, they don't have whatever it takes to make that. So it's a much more sensible system to engage people and educate them according to their propensities. Our idea of education is also that it should be free, free in the sense of no monetary exchange. There's another completely different approach compared to the modern system. Here in India, if anyone wants to get an education which will take them on to parents want their children to be educated in a way that they'll go on to university, that requires that they have to pay for it. There is also free education provided by the government, but that's not considered good enough, and it's not to take the children on further. But in modern society, everything is an exchange, done on an exchange of money. The teachers are paid. And the idea is to, for the children to get ahead in life so that they can succeed in future. The idea of success is to make more money than others. That's the bottom line, to make lots of money. So from the very beginning, there's lots of pressure, stress, exams. The teacher, the schools also, they're all the owners of the schools, the private schools. They're all pushing the teachers. It's up to them to see that the children succeed. The schools are competing with each other. The children are competing with each other. And they're, in this way, from the very beginning, they're prepared for a life full of stress and competition. Whereas our concept of education is something quite different. No exams. No payment. You can have the school under a tree. Srila Prabhupada said that in Hyderabad, when that land was given. And Srila Prabhupada said to start the Gurukul immediately. So devotees thought, well, that means to start building the Gurukul immediately. So shortly afterward, Prabhupada said, so what happened with the Gurukul? I said, well, Prabhupada, we're just making the plans and then we'll build the building. Prabhupada said, I said to start immediately. Yeah, we started already, you know, making the plans. No, you start the Gurukul. You can do it under a tree. You don't need a building. So that was the system. It can be done anywhere. It doesn't require infrastructure. You don't need so fancy, so much money. The schools will show in their brochures to try to get students to come at a very high rate. Our up-to-date physics lab, which costs 3.5 crore for all the instruments and all the fancy equipment we have, and every student has a desktop, latest computer. We invested so many crores of rupees. And in our school, in the traditional school, the investment is zero. Or there may be a chalk and a board. Chalk and board, so you're saying in Hindi. What do you say chalk in Hindi? In Bengali it's kari, like that. I don't know if they probably say. Anyway, chalk is out of date also now, because it's all computerized, or this smelly pen, which has the CTC poisonous smell, carbon tetrachloride. I learned it. Not at school. I learned it from, because part of the culture, the subculture of inhaling things with that poison in it, because it gives you some kind of unpleasant sensation. Some people find it pleasant. So our conception is something completely different. Board and lodging, everything free. But then there's service. In the modern schools, there's absolutely no idea of doing service to the teachers. The best service, if you really want to be good to the teachers, you don't insult them. That's all. But service to the teacher, bowing down to the teacher, considering the teacher, acharyam mang vijani an avamanyeta karhichit namartya buddhya suyeta sarvadeva mayoga. This verse was spoken by Krishna to Uddhava when he was describing the teacher, the guru, at the school. It comes in the section where he's describing brahmachari life. So he says, you should think of the guru just like me. Never insult him in any way, or considering him to be an ordinary human being. He's the representative of all the gods. As the boys, they live with the guru, the guru's wife and family, and may seem like a very ordinary person in so many ways, but one is forbidden to think like that. And actually the training comes in parampara that Brahmana, he's known as Bhudev, God on earth. And especially this kind of Brahmana who will just live in the forest, close to the village, so the boys can go for begging every day. But they'll actually be godly. They'll live a very, even they're married, but they're living a very detached life. They recite the Vedas. They teach their students to recite the Vedas. So, in this way, the children grow up seeing that culture, living in that culture. There's no selfishness. A Brahmana living in the forest, there's no selfishness. There's no one to compete with. There's no desire to compete for anything. So they grow up with that. And they may give some dakshina when they leave the Gurukul. But the real dakshina they have to give, the contribution, you could say. Dakshina jnana sandeshaha. Whatever they learn, they have to teach it to others. So why does the Brahmana teach? Because he learned. And he has to devarshi. What is that? Devarshi bhutaptanirnam pitrinam. He has a debt to the rishis from what he learned. And that is fulfilled by teaching it to others. Nowadays there's some propaganda around the Krishna conscious movement that there should be no more gurus after Srila Prabhupada, no more initiating gurus. But one has to be. One who has learned, that is his duty, one who has learned and surrendered himself to a guru, it is his duty to teach what he has learned and to give the opportunity to others to serve his guru through the medium of himself. It's not for self-aggrandizement. It's not should I or shouldn't I, it's a duty. He must do it. So there's a completely different outlook to life, and that is inculcated within the Gurukuls. It's all on the platform of dharma. Why does the Brahmana teach? It's his dharma to teach. There's no question. No one asks. Nowadays, if you say, why do you live without electricity? Why do you teach the Srimad Bhagavatam? But there should be no question. You have to do it. It's just what should be done. Why do birds fly? Why do fishes swim? There's no need to ask. Of course, in modern science, they'll ask. Not really. Why do birds fly? But they'll answer it in terms of, it's more like how do they fly, when they'll talk about the aeronautical. They'll use the word design. It's aeronautically designed so they can fly. But then they say design. No, it's not really design. Just we use that word. So wonderfully designed by nature. So it's not really design, but we just say like that. So if they say, why do fish swim? You don't. They just do. That's what. That's the definition of a fish. If it doesn't swim, it's not a fish. If it doesn't fly, it's not a bird. Well, ostriches don't fly, so we're told. Anyway, then, in general, birds. That's what they do. Even chickens, they can fly about this high. You see, sometimes they go up and then they go down. Especially the rooster will go up and make a big noise. So, there's no question why. That's why Arjuna, he became such a, He didn't want to fight. It's just unthinkable. You don't fight. You're not going to fight. It's just mad. There should be absolutely no question whether he's going to fight or not fight. The question isn't there. There's a fight on, and he's involved as the brother of Yudhishthira. And then all the Kshatriyas, if they're called, they have to come and fight. There's a fight for the emperor, and all these subordinate, the smaller kings, they all have to come. When Duryodhana sends his emissaries, the question, are you going to join me or are you going to join Yudhishthira? He says, well, I don't think I'll fight. There's no question, they have to fight. In a matter like this, they have to take sides. It's not that, I don't think I'll fight. They have to. A brahmana has to teach. He has to recite the Vedas. He has to do puja. These are things brahmanas have to do. If they don't do this, then they're not brahmanas and they're thrown out from society. So we have a completely different outlook. But although there's no, of course, whether or not we should take payment, that's something we've been discussing among ourselves, because Srila Prabhupada at one point did say that we should take payment, because anyway, that's, but on principle, on ideal, education is given free in the sense of no money. But on the other hand, it's the student is supposed to commit himself, supposed to give his very self. That what is that verse? Etat satshisha. Etat vai. Satshishai. Kartavyam guru nishkritam sarvartat matmana gurum. Oh, that's the word I'm looking for. Yeah, that one gives one's very self to the guru. Krishna cited himself as an example of this when he was speaking to. What is that verse? Can you find it? Etadeva hi satshishai kratavyam guru nishkritam yadvai vishuddha bhavena sarvartatmatmano guru. That is indeed the real disciple who gives himself with pure intentions, not that he makes a show of being a good disciple, but completely gives himself, his sarvart Atmana. So his very self and the very meaning of his life, artha, and artha can also mean all his money, but gurus, they don't take all the money. But the point, one gives one's very self, it's a commitment that goes on throughout life. One cannot act outside the restrictions given by the guru. So it's a very tough life, you could say. One is ruled by Shastra. Shastra, ruling through the injunctions of the scriptures, Srila Prabhupada says here in his book. One is ruled like this. Sometimes the caste system is criticized because the brahmanas, they have so much privileges and they're so much respected, but they have so many rules to follow also. Among Shudras, they may curse someone, or oh, you'll be a Brahmin in your next life, because then you can't eat mead, you can't drink, you can't have illicit sex. So for them, Shudra doesn't want to be a Brahmin. He wants to enjoy himself, so to speak. So it's a very rigid life. Traditionally, a brahmana, they won't even eat until hours and hours, maybe 11, and they get up early in the morning, and 11 o'clock after they've finished all their pujas and looking after the cows and looking after guests and feeding, then they'll take their meal. And they can eat one more time at night, and no snacks in between. That's it. Of course, when they eat, if they have the means to, they'll eat very well, no doubt. But it's a rigid life with many rules. There's so many things you can't do, so many things you must do. So our movement is especially meant for training brahmanas, so that they can set an example for the rest of society. And Varnashram, as I understand it, then Srila Prabhupada wanted the ISKCON to be temples with brahmanas, and then Varnashram means everyone else. Brahmanas leading, and then everyone else who can't come to the standard of cleanliness, studying Shastra very deeply, being very detached, then everyone else, for everyone else, there's the Varnashram project. And of course, brahmanas have to be there also. And the temples are supposed to be for a very high class of detached, learned persons, very regulated, clean, who can set an example for others and preach Krishna consciousness to others. So that commitment, that's is not free, but there is a commitment. And without that commitment, just learning won't help you very much. Just like you're very interested in this bhakti shastra course, you wonder. So that's Prabhupada wanted that. But if it's only on the it's like in the West they have these drive-in Macs. You drive in, you give your order, and then you drive a little further and they deliver you a hamburger and a Pepsi. Or is it Coke? They have it now also. And then you drive out. So Vedic learning is not supposed to be like a drive-in, drive-out. You go in, you pay your money, you get your education, and you go out. Not supposed to be like that. There's no commitment. It's not like, the person serving at the Mac, they smiled. So now I have to go back because I just feel so indebted to that. You don't even look at them. Of course, in the Mac, I've never been in a Mac. Well, I have actually, in Moscow. I went there to pass what? Everywhere you go in America, if you go to buy something in a store, they say, "Have a great day." So, and they smile at you. And you know, they're just paid. They don't care whether you have a great day or not. They even say if you go in at 10 o'clock at night, they're just like a machine. The day's already over. I guess for them, Rakshasas, the day's just beginning. But they just say it because the idea is, well, if you're nice, then the customer will come back again. But you don't give a damn if the person at McDonald's lives or dies. It doesn't mean a thing to you. So education is not, it's meant that the teachers will be so much involved, they're so much concerned. They may even punish the children. Oh, really? Punish? Why would you want to punish and discipline children? What a nasty thing to do, innocent children. They punish them if required, so that their faculties of discrimination are not very developed, and their senses are wild. They have no idea of self-control. Yes, they were just discussing those two words, anushasana, anushilana. I learned. Anushasana means discipline, just like we have here, shashdhatu. Discipline applied from outside, and anushilanam, discipline applied by one's self-discipline. So children have no idea. So you may have to punish them so that they know what's right and wrong from the point of view of, if I don't do it, I'll get punished. So, lalava bahavo dosha tarayan bahavo gunaha tasmat putrams chashishyam cha tarayan nachalalayat natulalayat. Therefore, Chanakya says, and Prabhupada quoted him, that patting, Prabhupada called lala, patting, indulging, there are many faults in that. And punishing has many qualities. Therefore, the son and the disciple should be disciplined and not indulged. So this is a very different outlook to modern idea of education. Don't discipline the children, let them just express themselves. If you let children express themselves fully, they'll all be dead soon. There's even I remember at school, one book we studied, The Lord of the Flies, by William Faulkner, I think, is it? Is that right? You don't know. I think it's American, was it? Is it? Okay. Anyway, the idea was that some children got stranded on an island, and they're all boys as far as I remember. And the whole idea is that children are very nice and innocent. Yeah, I think it must be British, because it was a British Navy vessel came and rescued them after a few weeks. And in the meantime, half of them were dead because they'd killed each other. The whole idea is to explode the myth that children are innocent. If you leave them alone, they'll kill each other. So anyway, our idea is that there has to be commitment from both sides. Without commitment, it's like licking the honey bottle from the outside. You may be able to say, now I got my Bhakti Shastra degree. But Shastra is to be studied not just for the sake of, first of all, under guidance, guru, acharya. And there has to be a purpose for that. Not just that you have some certificate. Well, in the Kami study, you have some certificate and then you can compete with. If you have a degree, you can, just like if there's a government job, clerk or something, you compete with 20,000 other degree holders to get a job as a clerk. Literally, it's like that, isn't it? And sometimes you can't get a job and then try to get a job as a sweeper or something like that, and then you say, no, you're overqualified, you don't have that job. And sweeper, that has to go to the bungee class, because it's their right. Only the bungies are allowed to do that kind of job. Isn't it? Up to the present time. Now they have all these mechanized garbage collections, but it's all the bungies. It's their huck. They have to do that. So they got a guaranteed job, because they'll always be garbage. But the people from Brahmin caste, they don't have a guaranteed job. Anyway, so it's licking the bottle from the outside. There won't be realization. Yasya deve para bhakti yata deve tata guru tasyaite katita hi artha prakashantari mahatmaraha. The artha, the meaning of all that, it won't be manifested, or it will, this verse says, it will be manifested to one who has firm bhakti to the Supreme Lord and to the Guru. This is the last verse. This Yasya Deve Parabhakti is the last verse of Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Comes right at the very end. Interestingly, you might think it should be first, but it comes at the end. This is the Upanishad with Natasya Karyam Karanam Cha Vidyate, all these kind of verses describing the Supreme Lord. So therefore, service is very much emphasized. A lot of service, menial service. Dasavan Guru Nicha. When Krishna describes the Brahmacharya, the first verse, he says the Brahmacharya has to live just like a slave and very lowly in the ashram of his guru. Brahmachari guru kole vasantantar guru hitam dasavan. What is that? Dasavan guru. I just said it. Nicha suhridas. Sudrida guru sohridam. You should live with the guru and take a very low, menial position in serving and be completely dedicated with affection for the guru. So Srila Prabhupada often pointed out, he may be the son of a very rich man, a very prestigious person. Krishna was the son of a ruling kshatriya, ruling family, but still he had to do menial service. You see, sweeping in the, just as I was saying, bhangis, that's considered the lowest, to sweeping. But the brahmacharis, they do that. How Narottam Das became the disciple of Lokanath Goswami, who wasn't going to accept any disciples. And Narottam went every morning, unseen, for months, to clean the place where Lokanath was passing stool. Then when Lokanath found out, then he felt bound. Now I have to accept, he's doing such service, I can't refuse him because of his service. I can't refuse to give him that mercy. Because he'd... Otherwise, what do you do? If someone cleans stool for you, if you don't pay them, you have to do... You become obligated to them. So, the natural position, a young boy is cleaning the place of an elderly sadhu, then you have to instruct him as he wants. So you see in Mayapur, the Gurukul, the cleaning, that's the mostly, they spend a lot of time cleaning everything. And that also makes them very, it gives service, and also the Brahminical culture of cleanliness, largely lost. And then gradually they learn everything. We have this story, Mahabharata, Upamanyu. You just send by the guru, you look after the cows, that's all. You go and look after the cows, that's all. And he didn't give him any food even. And he forbade him from eating. You're looking very fat. Yeah, I'm drinking some milk. He said, who told you to drink milk? You can't drink any milk. All right. Still looking fat. So how are you still looking fat? I'm just taking the foam. Who told you? You can't take the foam without permission. So the guru was seen so harsh. But anyway, it all ended up well in the end. Because of his complete dedication, then he was able to get all the knowledge. One cannot demand also that now you teach me Gopi Bhav Bhakti. There's the Jagannath Das Babaji living in Navadvip. Two young men came to him to surrender to him. Teach me about bhakti. He said, yeah, okay, go in the garden. Work in the garden. You can dig, take out the weeds. In this way you can produce some vegetables and flowers. You can serve the Lord like this. So they went on doing this for some weeks and some months. He said, well, could you teach us something about bhakti and chant? He said, no, no. You're not qualified. You just serve the dharma by looking after the gardens. Wouldn't teach them about anything, chanting or anything. So they say Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was very strict, but actually he gave people an opportunity to enter into the process of devotional service, which his own guru wouldn't do. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. People would come to Gaur Kishore. If they wanted, they could come and live with him, but he would practically reject all of them. He said, ah, you're not qualified. They had to be as qualified as him, and who's as qualified as him? If they have any bad thought in their mind, ah, you're bogus. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati gave a means to come and live in the mutt and take training, do lots of service. It's very Gauriya Mutt at that time is very service oriented. All the time, one festival after another, go out every day. Everyone has to go out every day for bhiksha, maybe for that means for collection, preaching. Except the pujaris, they could stay back. Everyone's supposed to chant 64 rounds a day. There's no japa period. They're kept busy morning till night, and at the same time they're supposed to chant 64 rounds a day. Japa period means they're out. Early morning, they'll go out for collection while the people are still at home. So sevanmuk, that's the whole point, to become sevanmuk. Otherwise one can learn so many things, but if you don't have an attitude of service to Krishna, then it's all useless. And if you have an attitude of service to Krishna, then your life is perfect. The whole Varnashram system is meant that everyone cooperates together with the idea that whatever we produce here, it may be, everything is for the pleasure of Krishna. This way, everyone advances together. Sankirtan movement. Sange Shakti Kalo Yoga. In Kali Yoga, strength comes from association. So the whole community works together to serve Krishna, to offer the flowers and vegetables and grains and milk and serve the cows, offer everything to Krishna. In this way, everyone working together, they all make advancement together. It's not that I'm just sitting thinking of my own advancement. Everyone together is advancing. And everyone should be happy. Sarve sukhino bhavantu. Let everyone be happy. Nowadays, everyone's in anxiety. And even the children at school, they're from the very beginning trained to be in anxiety. The farmer's in anxiety. Probably the two main groups of people in anxiety in India today are the students and the farmers. And you'll find from the suicide rates, these are the two groups of people who should be the most relaxed and secure. Children, they shouldn't be in great anxiety. Should be disciplined, but they should be secure and happy. And the farmers, why should a farmer be in anxiety? Because it's all money-based. And if they can't repay their loan, then they're in trouble. Big trouble. Then they have to sell their land and work on the same land that they used to own, or go to the city. Thus the cities are growing. I'll finish here, a little over time. We have a busy day today. So, no questions, and Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.